Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for keeping watch over us, Lord, over this last week. And I'm glad to be back once again in the house of the Lord here in Singapore. And commit, Lord, our souls and our spirit, Lord, and our whole being to your hand, Father, for your keeping, Lord. And as we walk in the light of God's word, help us, O Father. We commit also, Lord, all those other churches that they're being ministered to, O Lord, for the last 2 weeks in the Philippines. May you just continue to bless the ministers and also the saints there, Lord. So, Father, now as we approach thy word, break it down the bread of life to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, may be seated and let us go to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah. Now, this morning, it's something which I have touched a little bit before, but as usual, many of us need to be reminded once again of many things. We are living in this hour here now, in this time. We see events are now unfolding. And we have young people in fellowship here in this church that are being affected, drawn, and pulled apart by, well, technology of the world, scientific advancement, and everybody wants to be a part of all this great thing that we see coming into the world. I watch a little clip that my son show us. What CGI, you know, can really do. It was done by a man, and it's about the room, the texture of the wood and shelves and a building and chairs, and they are all not real, but they look so real, and it's just all rendered by these pixels, these little dots and, you know, on your computer, rendered by this, what we call human intelligence, writing programs and putting codes and interpreting what you write and what you want, and it renders something that comes up to look so real as if it is the real thing. You know, that's, you know, why when we see some of this movie, a lot of people can be mesmerized by the fantasies of things that look so real as if it is real. You know? And of course the desire of many of us is that, oh yeah, if this is possible. You know? And being drawn away, as I said, from, you know, reality into all this make-believe world and think that this make-believe world is real. And people can dwell in this make-believe world so long that they cannot tell the difference between from reality and fantasy. You know. And we have, of course, other modern gadgets. Look at your handphone now. I see kids, young people on the train, you know, watching movie on the little, what do you call that, palm top or whatever, or iPod, iPhone, whatever you want to call it, and it's all this name anyway. And everything is, more words are being added to the dictionary. So they have all these things and it looks fantastic. But the life of people is being controlled by all these gadgets. Huh? Most of us, we go home, okay, let's check the email. We go down to our computer, switch it on, and then sit down there, look at the email and check, go on and check. You know, we forget about our lunch, our dinner, our whatever, and our work. You see. And so we are all taken up by all this. And then we find that there's one thing I notice is that Hollywood can produce so many movies in a year. And they are generating more movies than they used to be in those days when all movies are made or dramatized or produced, acted out by human. But today, just get a group of people and then they use the computer to generate all this thing out. And they can produce it so fast because the computer are supercomputer. You know? And they can actually add scene, remove scene, merge scene, whatever you want to call that. And they can produce series of movie And they have this brain, this capacity in their head to be able to draw one season of movie to another season of movie to another season, and still able to connect them. Because they already plan ahead and ready so well. And should there be a season, 10 seasons in the middle of it, somebody die, one of the actors die, they can sort of use a CGI, take his face and get somebody else to put his face inside and render it. You know. So, we are all caught up in this world today. That, you know, the pressure of this in the society of Singapore are greater than those in the third world. Perhaps you would say those in the part of Africa where they are not living in the main city. They're living in a little town. They will not have so much access to it. They will have less of a pressure of being affected by this thing that we have in the world today. So we are actually caught up or being held as slaves to all these gadgets today. You all agree with that? You see, we go out without our mobile phone, well, you know, we feel, well, nobody can contact us. I remember those days when the beeper, what do you call it, a pager, was in the market. You know, mother bought it for their kids. Yeah, so that, well, they can keep track of them. That's good, that's okay. You know, today, the pager is gone. In those days, I refused to have a pager. You know, someone suggested to me, "Sir, brother, in case we need to contact you," I said, "You're going to die? Or somebody going to get really sick that you're going to contact me a pager?" You know what I mean? But today, you don't have to buy a cell phone or mobile for the child, because they will save the money, they will look for the latest and the best gadget they can buy and become slave to these things. But where do we go from here? Now that we are here, 2010 now. And you know, the thing that is happening in the world today, the volcano just now in Iceland. However you pronounce the name of that volcano is in anybody's guess. Because even on the news, I'm trying to see if any of the news reader pronounce that name. Anybody in the house to pronounce that name? Huh? I don't know. You don't read it like English, because it is not English. It's Icelandic. So if you think that it's Ayayajayaku, whatever that is, but no, I have not heard anyone pronounce that name. Now that one, see, just imagine how much of a disaster it is. Planes cannot fly there, and that reminds me of a scenario that will take place according to the book of Ezekiel 28:29. When that battle happened, and when the armies from the north come down against Israel. Alright, we know that today is modern warfare, right? They don't just use their horses and their tanks just to cross, but they can just fly over the Israel and start bombing and whatever. How are you going to destroy the bomb? And that's how you're going to destroy the bomb, when there will be a great earthquake. As the Bible said, there will be a great earthquake. And when the earthquake blows up, the ashes will go up and jet was sucking all those in, and they will be destroyed. That's as simple as that. You see? And that's years ago when we talk about that, people think that it is nonsense. But you can see the desire, even in Mao Pino Toba, how many years ago? In the 60s, I think, it happened. We see all the ash over here in Singapore. Down there, the hole, nobody can see anybody. You know, and what do we have now? Not only that, but you see the earthquake in China. Huh? Earthquake in Aceh recently. Earthquake over in Fiji also. Europe. Chile. Are we waiting for the big one? And then we have one over in what? In which part of America was that? Which state was that? That just really happened in part of the state of, a place in America. I think was in somewhere in Colorado. You know. So when is the big one going to come? I was just thinking back to the year that I had that dream about not another 1 and 5 years to go, and how that, you know, wondering whether would that more than not another more than 5 years ago, would that be a pattern of something that is to come? And now we have passed more than five years where it begins the Feast of Trumpet. And that was in the year 2005, I think October sometime. Now, was it and now be another more than 5 years again for that closing, which will come maybe sometime next year or this year. So our just thing is that we are all having all this scenario playing out in the Bible, and then we are just in our head and we try to find out, Lord, when are you going to come? But each time we look at it, well, it seems the Lord's kind of tearing. And we have, well, sometimes we see technology advancement, we say, well, the world is getting better. Now we have, the Circle Line now. Traveling will be a little easier for you. Is that right? And then we have, when I was in the Philippines, they already built all this super highway, the skyway, and all these things. It's all about ready now at the end of the year, or early next year down in Manila. From one north to the south, it'd be easier to travel, no more congestion. You know. But every day the cars are getting more and more pollution and still up and up and up. Here. And here we are. Now you're trying to buy a house. Who's getting married? Young people are thinking of getting married, you're thinking about getting a house, a flat, an apartment. And look at the price of it. It's scary. That doesn't make sense. Right? 20, 30 years ago, 4-room, 70,000 to 80,000. Today, 300,000. What on earth is that? Why? People are coming to Singapore. Everybody is working. Everybody wants money. They want a better life. Of course. But what about us as Christians? Where do we go from here? Are we still, well, it's part of life. We just go on as it is and live our life. Ever thought of what's going to happen? Or ever think about the stage that is set for us now? This is 2010. Release expected when we were in the year 1990s. You know? And then when 1999 came, everybody was afraid there's going to be a what was the computer crash thing, what they call it? Y2K, yeah. And we said, why should the computer, I was thinking, why should the computer just change over the date, it goes bust? You know, but they were thinking that there's a big disaster here because of the numbering and whatever in the system, you know. Nothing happened. You know. And we all expect the Lord to come. Yes. And you know what? I can tell you this for sure. There are many believers in this end time message actually lost their faith. Because Brother Abraham said 1977, and they thought it was 1977. But no, it isn't. So they expect 1980-something. No. 90-something, no. Before 2000, no. Now we are 2010. They are tired, waiting for the Lord to come. You know what the Bible said? Be not weary in well doing. So where do we go from here? Our life. Are we just going to a stage of lukewarmness? Is there any correction? Let us go and look at the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23 and 24. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walk to direct his path, his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. That's Jeremiah's prayer. It is definitely not in the nature of man, you know, to walk and to direct his path. Oh, how fickle-minded we are. Yes, Sister Janice. Takes 6 months to make decision, but on the spot, the moment of the car, 3 days or less. We all do that. That's the thing we all do. Sometimes when we want to say, this is what we want to do, you know, I don't know, she had a str- problem struggling with her career, which way to go. And I think many of us do at times. When I was young, yes, I wanted to be a teacher, I wanted to be a technician. I never thought about wanting to be a doctor or a nurse, whatever, forget that man. I just want to do with something that I can use my hand to do. A technician, yes, that's what I wanted to teach, yes, to guide, you know, to make, in school, to share things. But when I grow older, when the Lord calls me, and I said, well, I don't know, I'm supposed to do a ministry, so I just leave it into the hand of the Lord. I never thought of going to Bible school because that was not possible. So when the Lord began to move me here and there, I have no choice. When I was young, I was poor. I was a hawker. Hawking food. Selling durian. You know, selling uchakwe. Yutiao. You know. You see. Lomi. Hemi. Those were the days when I went out there with my... Well, we call him my uncle anyway, my father's clansman, the same surname, and the same from the same district over in China. You know. Then I saw encyclopedia, which was a flop, and then I saw toothpaste. You know. So in the night market, I hawked my the food. Then all the old magazines that I had, my mom worked for it as a domestic servant, you got some old books, and I read the books and then I just put the book out there on the roadside in a night market someplace and then sell it for 50 cents, you know, 30 cents and get some pocket money. You see. Then I end up being called a maintenance, working for a crazy hospital, of course, and a psychiatric nurse, and then after that, go in general nursing. And well, of course, it's just everything live in the hand of the Lord. You see. It is not a man. No matter what you want to do, we will never let God, most people will never say, God, all right, you do whatever you want with me. But we always tend to make our own decision. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. You know. But in everything, you seek the mind of God. Lord, you want me to be a teacher, you want me to be a doctor, you want me to be whatever. Find your place as God wants to put you. Because sometimes you do not know. You can see a lot of people. They do a lot and make money. They have a good career. They study hard, they got a good career. But in the end, they get stressed themselves up to where they collapse. And not knowing God. And here, of course, it is not in the man to direct step. But here, Jeremiah prays, says, Lord, correct me with judgment. This is wrong. Yes, I made a mistake. You correct me. But don't do it when you are angry. And you know what parents are. Wow, sometimes you can see how parents are so angry with a child and in this anger could even kill their own child. You know. Correct me not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Lest I became a rebel. Lest I became so frustrated with you. Yeah, sometimes when a child being spanked by a father or mother so badly that they run away from home. You see. But God will always correct us with tenderness. With gentleness, because He understands us. But He will correct. At such time as you can see this brother, Andrew, you know, in the Philippines, go read his testimony. The pain that he went through, but he was rebelling against God. He seek to be a, he said, I want to be a rebel. He was even joining all those protests against the government or system somewhere, you know. He wanted to be a lawyer. Why? Because his father was a preacher. His father was a missionary, evangelist, believing in the message. And he was a very intelligent man, he said. His father was very brilliant. He not only know the scripture, he know the law of the land. And he said that one day, he said, but we are all very poor. We live in way among some tribes out there. People are all very poor. But he said, one day, an organization, a Christian organization, offered him a position to where that he can preach as he liked, whatever doctrine he liked, but only to use the name of the organization. And he will be bigger given some offering. And his father says, no, I will never be part of any system. or take the name of any system, and said, the day when my father said that, my mother started crying. My mother said to him, you don't care about the family. And the father said, I will not give up the word of God for all these things that is offered me. And that's why he says, I rebel. I don't want to be like my father, to see my family goes, you know, go poor without food, struggling. I want to be a lawyer. He ran away from God, he came back, and he was in the ministry for a while, and then the confusion between Brother Jackson and Brother Gann, as he said, and then finally the criticism was out there, and then he frustrated, he laughed and went again. God has to deal with him, with his children. You know, it's painful to see your own children suffering. They are young, they are not adults, they are young. You know. So that's the reason why in those days when my children were young, you know, I always watch over them and look at them, and I was thinking, my, if ever I want to do what I want, God will put his hand on my children because they are my flesh and blood. And the pain will be there. You know, we have a lot of disaster in life. We can see the marriage and divorce in Singapore is getting higher up. But you know, it is because men are basically flesh and carnal. We look at the world around us with our eyes and the five senses. And so when we choose a bride or we choose a husband, sometimes we use our five senses. She's pretty, he's handsome, he has the money, I married a rich one. But one thing for sure, you know what? If God has his will in your life and my life, love is blind. To begin with. Yes. Only the rich playboy, like Tiger Woods, he go around and go and choose any girl, pretty girl he wants to, and sleep around. So are all those actors and actresses in Hollywood. But when it comes down to the average people like us, trying to find a rich husband, trying to find a rich woman, if you don't have the physics and the beauty and the handsomeness in you, it's kind of hard, isn't it? But one thing for sure in our life, when you are in Christ, your one thing that is concerned is the Lord. Everything is in your hand. You want me to get married? I'll get married. Sure, I'll look for a bride. But I'm not going to look for one that I desire, Lord. Because God don't look on the outside, God looks on the inside. So if you're going to look for the outside, it might be a problem. And so we make mistakes sometimes in choosing marriage, for example, and in a career. Sometimes we have a career. How many of you switch career? Look at my son. Anyway, when he was young, he and his F-16. Okay, he and his F-16. But when he was a little younger, he wanted to be a bus driver, he said. He was running around, transferring gear. Those days back when he was young, it was all about gear stuff. No, it's not the automatic bus today. Auto drive, you know. So he was moving around the house, all that kid stuff. He wanted to be a bus driver. That's kids. So if you're going to be up, then you want to be, he loved the F-16, so he got the F-16 to meddle with, and what happened now? Okay, I don't want to be because there's hardly any promotion. Off he goes. Out. Then what? He wanted to, do computer service. And I told him there's a whole lot out there, they are doing that. And many young people already know how to deal with computers. It's not that difficult to fiddle with it, you know, except for old guys who can't be bothered. Maybe like Brother Kati, his computer breakdown, he doesn't know how to figure it, call someone on there, right, brother? That's it. So maybe there's a market for old, because the citizens are getting old. All right. So he went up there and tried, print, you know, pamphlet flyers, and he printed a lot, but I don't know how many percent went out. You know, mother has to go out, help him, and go out there to the estate to put in the flyers. After a few months, changing again. You know. So you see, life is such that, okay, we want to make a choice, we want this way, we want that, we want this. Okay? So we got to sit down and say, Lord, what do you really want me to do? I want to be this. Can you say, okay, this? Okay, we try. Sure, we try. You see. But in the decision of making that comes to spiritual life, it's a totally different thing. We cannot just let our choice be, you know. First King, chapter 13. We all know the story there in First King chapter 13. We're not going to read all of it. You remember about this man of God. They went up to the king and rebuked the king, Jeroboam. And you know what happened to this king when he tried to, you know, seize the man of God, that his hand withered. Remember that? First King chapter 13, you can read it on your own. But what happened then was that the news spread, and there was a prophet who dwelt in Bethel, and his son came to him and told him, verse 11, all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the word which he had spoken to the king, and then they told also to their father. So now this old prophet then, whatever caused him to do what he did, told the sons, okay, you know, Satan asked for him, and he wrote upon it, and he went to find the man of God. And he told the man of God, in verse 15, come and eat with me, come with me home, and eat bread. But the man of God said, I may not return with you, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou came. Now he was given a direction of the by God, never to eat in that place, never go back and in the same direction you came. But you see, here what this old prophet, it was, if you look at it, sometimes you wonder, so why this thing happened? You have to know, understand that God would try us. Even your very best friend, the one in the church, sometimes maybe a word may be spoken that you take it and change the direction that God intended for you to go. And so this old prophet talked to the man. He said, you know, I'm also a prophet. You know. So here was, the Lord told me, the old prophet said, the Lord told me, come with me, go back and eat with me. So one prophet tell another prophet. And the young prophet said, okay, here's an old prophet, he must be telling the truth, he must be a wiser one, and he must have better revelation and so on, or whatever goes on, went through his mind. So went back to him to his house and eat bread. And a prophecy was spoken and he died. He was not supposed to eat bread in that area. Or to drink water. But he did. So he was caught in a deception. You know. Strange, isn't it? But you see, if you have already what God told you, somebody else going to say something to you, don't just simply believe it. If God has already told you, and you know that it is God's direction for me, don't change it. Which of course sometimes is how do I know which is God's direction? It's the same thing over here. People ask a question over in this Philippine trip. But again, how do we know that we are born again? Same old question. How do you know that you are born again? How do you know that you are a child of God? They are asking the same question. I said, brother again, according to the word of God, Acts 2:38, if I repent, if I get water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and I shall receive the Holy Ghost. Am I born again? If I do all that? And how do I know I'm born again? You see, the problem is that people ask questions. When they ask questions like this, especially, it means that they don't know. They really don't know that they are born again. Always look at a simple thing. How do you know that you are alive? Now, what we call the paradox, you know, in argument, huh? You say, I'm alive because I'm here. I'm eating, I'm drinking, I'm talking, I'm breathing. How do you know that is true? It could be somebody else controlling you and you are just a puppet. Right? Yes, like a man manipulating a puppet. Ask a puppet, how do you know you're walking? Because I'm walking, but the puppeteer is making you walk. How do you know you are existing? Here, right now, sitting here. No, it's just somebody's mind playing out. Somebody imagine it and I'm here. You know what I'm talking about? It's just like you sit and you imagine something. You're driving a car. And who's driving a car? Someone else is driving a car. You are in the car and somebody else is driving a car. And so this is taking place right out there somewhere. Do you get what I mean saying? But that is what? You talk about quantum science and quantum mind and all that paradoxical reasoning and whatever you want to call that. You see. Try to pinch yourself. See whether you're real or not. Am I real? Am I here? But if I'm alive right here, I know I exist. If this is not somebody's mind that is playing with me, talking like that, moving my hand like this. No, it is not. It is real. It is me. So if I know that I'm alive, then how do I know that I'm born again? There must be a quickening, there must be a spirit within me that tells me that I'm a child of God. And that's what Paul said, the spirit witness with your spirit that you are his child. And that is just what the Bible said. And that you need to know, I cannot tell you whether you're born again or not. I cannot say you're born again. I cannot say you're a child of God. Only you will know whether you have the Spirit of God in you or not. And if you don't know, then you go on your knees and say, Lord, witness to me. Am I your child? You don't want to walk into life. Okay, Nathaniel, how do you know your father is your father? How do you know the man sitting on your left is your daddy? How do you know? If you don't know, you better find out. You better go ask your father. If I don't know I'm a child of God, I better ask my father in heaven. You understand? If you ask your father and he says, no, you're not my child, you better start crying. You understand what I'm saying? Sure. You need to know. And the only way to know is to find out from the one who birthed us. Find out who is the one who birthed you spiritually. It's a rebirth, you understand? Spiritual birth. We are born again by the Spirit of God. And so if we are born again by the Spirit of God, there must be a witness that we are His child. And Paul said it very plainly. As simple as that. But not what denomination, Pentecostal will tell you because you speak in tongues. That's what I was told. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not born again. But to them, having the Holy Ghost, baptism, speaking in tongues is different from being born again. To them, when you repent, you are born again. When you accept Christ, you are born again. But when your Holy Ghost baptized, it's only using, God is using you as a vessel for His work. That's what denomination, Pentecostal, Charismatic would teach you. But that's not what the Bible said. Just how strange when people start to meddle with the word like this. And just like a few days ago, my old friend Peter Ong again came sending me an email trying to, about the Godhead. Now somebody sent me an email, I think I'll forward to you all too, I'm not sure. He sent me an email about the Trinity. Somebody phoned me, and then gave me all these quotes from the historians, theologians, churches, to say that, that when they look into the Bible, Trinity is not a real thing. Well, I forwarded to him, he came back and said, hey, some of these ones here, they are not Christian, So, does it mean they are wrong? Just because they are historian, to state the fact that the early church don't believe in this, does it mean that it is they are not telling the truth? Does it mean that the Bible is wrong? He said, the mind, that's why I spoke very plainly with him, and he got very upset. He said, wow, you come in so strong. I said, yeah. I said, remember Jesus talked to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader, a religious leader of Israel. And Jesus talked about being born again, all this. And Nicodemus, how is it possible? And Jesus said, well, you're supposed to be a great leader, religious leader of the Jews, and you don't even know these things. And I said to him, I said, this is what you are. You go to Bible studies, what I call a theological school, and you think that you know everything, yet you don't know nothing. And he bring out a verse in the Bible in Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 7. About Jesus Christ, or as the Bible says, let's look into it anyway. Philippians 2, 5 to 7. And he wanted to use this as one of his main trump cards to try to disprove the wonders of God and to believe that Jesus Christ was always in eternity with God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. You see? So he said, oh, he was equal with God, and he became a man in Bethlehem. You know? So I said, he asked me to expound. I said, Peter, you have already read my book on the Logos. It seemed to me that you have read it, but you have not read it. You know what I mean? I said, you have read it, but you have not read it, because why? You read to find fault all those that think that you don't agree with to find fault. Then he came back, he says, give me all that. I said, no, you go look for it. But it was the other day, I just sent the whole thing up to him. I quoted from my, all that I've written, I sent it up to him. Then he came back, and said, okay, I have to go and look at it. The problem with the verse here, people do, I said, look, you say that if literal makes sense, seek no other sense. Remember? I said, what now are you finding? How come the Bible in the book of Isaiah? I am God and there is none other God beside me. It doesn't that make sense to you that you have to go and look into it and don't even understand this? You make the word Jesus when the word was God. And the Bible said God himself has life. Jesus has no life. But God the Father gives the Son the life. And I said, here, you have made it, you people, I said, you theologians have made this. It says here, who being in the form of God. What do you mean by being who being in the form of God? You are saying that who is originally God. That's what you people do. What do you mean by being in the form of God? Turn it not robbery to be equal with God. If you are God, you are God, not equal. To be equal. Now, you know, we are sons of God. Are we not? We are daughters of God. Are we not? Sure. But does it mean that we are God? We are not. Sure. But being that we are sons of God, children of God, so we are part of the family of God. So you can say, we are like God. So we are like God means we are like equal to God. English word are here, don't just convey a thought. But don't say that we are God. Because God is God. So we are God as God is God. No. If the Bible could be rephrased in a proper way, it would be a different thing. Who being in the form of God? What do you mean by who being in the form of God? What do you mean by being in the form of God? If you say that you are originally God, then you would say, who originally is God? Right? What do you mean by who being in the form? When Jesus was on earth, when he received the Holy Ghost, baptism was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the word came again him, so he was in the form of God. To be able to, Peter come, walk on the water. Lazarus come forth. That's not man. He was in the form of God to be able to have the authority to speak the word. What did Abraham do? When he came on the stage, after that he preached, and then he prayed. Then he said, I have nothing to do until the angel come. What he comes or not, I don't know. Right? Now he's here. Then he says, I take the whole thing, the whole auditorium under my command for the glory of God. Now he has the whole what we call the whole auditorium under his command, his authority now. Now in that form, in that particular moment, the word that was so anointed, he being in the form of God because of the word. We can use that being in the form of God as if he is in the state, in the place of God. Like the prophet. Jesus said, why do you want to seek to kill me because I say I'm the Son of God? And yet, the prophet, he called him God because the word of God came to them in the form of God because of the word. This is what he's trying to tell you. Not that we are originally God. Or Jesus was originally God. I know sometimes the mind cannot try to, deal with that. But just think a little bit. And so we are called a family of God. If my Father is God, I'm God. But in what sense am I God? You get the point. You need to understand. You see? And even Jesus spoke of that, the Pharisees don't seem to understand. And today when Brother Man talks about it, people say, you people believe that you're God and Jesus Christ can become God. What do you mean by Jesus Christ can become God? Jesus Christ did not become God. What is divinity? What is deity? I'm divine. When you have the word of God, you are divine. But you're not deity, you know. Deity includes divinity. All knowing. Everything. But if I'm anointed by the word, anointed by the spirit, I'm sinless. Because my sin all washed away. I stand in the sight of God as if I have no sin. So that means what? I'm divine. I'm sanctified, so I'm divine. So people use the word John the Divine. I'm a saint. Sanctified. Something means clean. There's no filth, no dirt, no nothing. And that's why we are using the word. But you're not deity. The word is just trying to describe something. But it is not that the word is final. So this is a passage that caused man to lose the understanding. So this man of God, the prophet here in 1 Kings 13, you see, he is held responsible for listening to the man of God when God already told him something that he shouldn't do. You know. He who just thank the old man, okay, thank the old prophet, thank you very much, but I will not eat. I will just stay what the Lord said. You see. You get the understanding. So if somebody else show you something, God show you something, and then somebody else says, I had a dream, you know. This, then try to, you feel, what the Lord told me, maybe it's not true. This is the dream, this dream of the brother may be true. The dream of the brother has nothing to do with you. It's only for that person. You get the point? You see? Unless you are praying about something and waiting for the Lord's answer, somebody came, says, last night I had this dream. The Lord showed me this. I give it to you, so it's in your hand. But don't just simply grab dreams and as if that it is from the Lord. There are many dreams that people have. They aren't from the Lord. You see. You understand that? In the Philippines, they told me a lot of dreams. This brother told me about dream this. But they are not necessarily they are of God. It's just something the Lord just blasts you with, maybe just to hold you in a console you in a time when you are looking for something. You understand that? So we need to find God's way in prayer and in watchfulness. And that's why when we sit around, this junction of time, what are we looking at? Are we looking for the coming of the Lord now? Oh, okay, there's a volcano now that happened the last 3 days ago. What happened if there's another one that starts somewhere else? What happened if there's another earthquake coming, and there's another cyclone coming, and tornado, and a typhoon? What happened? And that's what Netanyahu, when he was told not to build a settlement on the east of Jerusalem, the city, he said, Jerusalem is our capital. Jerusalem must be the capital of Israel. Why was this only brought up only now? He mentioned that.
Because time has to come. Tel Aviv is not going to be the capital anymore. Because Jerusalem has always been the heart of God. Jerusalem has always been the capital city in ancient Israel. You understand that? But because of what happened in the 20th century, when the land of Israel was taken by the, you know, after all this Turk war, the Suleiman, the whatever, crusader that came, and then the whole land was all became desert, and the Jews came back. Of course, the city of Israel was under the hand of all the other religious group and other races. And the land was split up here and there, so it could not be their capital. But now it must go back to Israel. And they have already, what they say, the Levites and everything ready. And I was told that, well, you know, they found the ark already and all that thing, you know. Yeah, brother in the Philippines was all excited, and you know, they said they found the ark, and I said, well, it's on the website, it's on what? But I don't quite believe what he says is true. If you ever read the article on there, it sounds a bit not real to me. Why was the ark hidden? It was hidden under the place of Calvary where Jesus was crucified. And when he died, the blood was oozing down the cross, down into the crevice, then into the mountain, cracked the water into a crevice, and then there was a cave right inside. That's where the ark was found. And the story goes in his website that when there were men that went in down there, I think there were four men or what, went in, and then they looked upon it and they were struck dead. And then somehow they were able to scrape some blood out from the place where the crack was, and then they sent it to a laboratory to test. And then the laboratory was testing it, and they found it. Then they were surprised. They asked him, where did you get this blood? Huh? Where did you get this blood? Because how many chromosomes do we have? 46. 23 from the mother, 23 from the father. But that blood has only one set of chromosomes. How do you get it? Where do you get this blood? They don't look human. And it was supposed to be the one what said to these people, who are supposed to be Jew, it's the blood of your Messiah. Is it really true? How come it wasn't publicized? How come there was no certificate? How come this man don't come out here and examine further? Interesting. So we have all that thing, you know. I get that one thing for sure, you know, that we don't know how what composition of blood really is in Christ. To say there's only 23? I don't even know whether it's really true to make it 23. So where is the sight of the man? It's only from the woman? What about the self-only God? Didn't God make a sperm and an egg? Huh? And since they are made by God, they don't carry the inherent sin of the serpent in us, right? In that sperm or the egg. So this is only 23 is convenient. Because they don't even know what the original sin really is. So we need to be examining carefully, check the word. The word and the spirit and the circumstances that's round about us. The other question is, right now we see all this thing going on here. What kind of man and woman we ought to be? Who's steering the wheel of our life? Who's steering you? Do you allow the Spirit of God to steer you, to move you? I remember back in the 90s, 80s, 90s, who is steering the US dollar of the world? Huh? Who is steering the US dollar? It's actually the Japanese. The government is steering the yen to buy the US dollar, to prop it up. But no, that's going to collapse. And so what are they going to do now? And then the Chinese yen, how come it was once called renminbi? Why now is it called yen? I don't understand. So now it's called yuan. Yuan is strong. But the Chinese are smart. They don't want to reevaluate and make it any stronger than they want it, because they're getting a lot of employment for their own people. More jobs are coming, right? All your Japanese cameras are made in China. Right? Go to American store, Mattel toy, make in USA, used to be. You buy that, turn around, make in China. Your car tire, make Michelin, make in China. Yes. Everything now you see is China, China, China. One third of the world population. The rise of the king. Huh? Not just China itself, but the kings of the East. You see. You see how strong the Vietnam is now getting up? Yes. Even Cambodia is rising up economically. They even have one of the best coffee. When I go there, I should try it and find out how good they really are anyway. But a lot of export from there. So we are seeing now, that is the world being, trying to steer this red dragon of China. And China, red dragon, is trying to steer the economy over there too. Now everybody is trying to control, but who is controlling our life? Do we let all these things that we see around us control us? Let us think about Lord Jesus, let Him do it for us. Psalms quickly now. Psalms 37. Psalms 37, 27, 23. Psalms 37. 23 to 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man. That also means good woman, huh? Don't forget, don't sister, don't get feel that always God not fair, always use men. Okay. The steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. And God delighted in her way. Okay? Though he fall, he shall be utterly cast down, but she shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord uphold him with his hand. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I mean, every one of us. What do you mean by a good man? I'm not talking about righteous, self-righteous man. But a man who surrenders his life. Who let the Lord direct. Okay? So, if we are, you see, the Bible says this. There they are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Don't say, that's what denomination is always doing, you know. They're reading the other way. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But they say, those who are sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. That is different, you know. So I'm a son of God. So God will lead me. No. It's to say that if God leads you, then you are truly His son. That's because I'm a son of God, God will lead me. No, many times I lead myself. You get what I'm saying? It's a different thing. Yes, I'm a son of God. I want God to lead me. So God lead me. And when God leads you, then you are sons of God. But to say, I'm a son of God, God will lead you. But then sometimes God wants to lead you and says, no, Lord, I want to do this. I want to do this. That's a totally different thing altogether. Don't put the cart before the horses. You got a point? You don't want the horses to push the cart. Alright, verse 5 and 4 and 5. 37 verse 4 and 5. Go up and read those 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desire of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, see down here, they are the sons of God. Now, when you want to make a choice of something that you want to do, but you know, usually when you make choices, people put fleas before the Lord, right? Like Gideon did, which of course you find in Judges chapter 6. You know. But you don't always put fleas before the Lord because you just simply say, Lord, I put this flea before you. No. Putting fleas before you is to confirm God's will. It's not for God to say, okay, choose this and not this. You understand? Because you know that God has already called Gideon to do a certain thing. Right? So,
People are just saying, doesn't look good. I want, okay, Lord, if really this is what you call me to do, I put a flea before you. And that's what he did. Fleas are put before God to confirm his will. Not for you to choose will. Alright, to choose what to do or which to do, or that, whether this is God or this is not God. So, remember this. And the other last thing about it is our attitude. When we grow, as we grow in the grace of God, even as we are now in this time growing, remember this. We learn from our mistake. We learn from our bad behavior that we have, you know, carried with us. Now, many of us here, at least 10 years in Christ, except for the younger one, except this young one all grew up in the church. You know? But those of us who have been Christian already 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, where you can look back and we can see some of the mistakes that we made. Huh? The mistake we made. So we should be able to realize those are mistakes, correct it, and move on. And we should not be hostile. If we are hostile, if we have a bad attitude with our character, rebellious maybe, just like Brother Andrew, and we have a sarcastic words always in our mouth, in our relationship with people perhaps, in the church, you know what, when we have this character, this kind of attitude, we are going to short circuit ourselves. And we find ourselves shooting at our own foot. I remember, you know, I just some funny little cowboy movie. This guy wanted to learn to shoot and learn to fight with a gun. So he think that, wow, putting a holster here, you know, on the side, you know. I mean, it looked good, like 6 guns on both sides. Huh? But you know, it's not easy to draw a gun out from a holster on your hip. You take a lot of practice. You see. To some, they put a gun on the side. Huh? You ever see some cowboy in some movie? They put a gun in front of their what we call the tummy. They just grab the guns like this. Okay? But so the guy put it on there and says, steady, man. And before he can pull out the thing, he put a trigger and shot his own foot. That's the problem. Is it the thing? He put his own foot. Is it? It's the attitude. When discipline is part of our life, we learn from mistake. We don't then. And when we are somebody correct us and some say some word to us, don't be sarcastic. In the end, we just got ourselves all in our own mess. All right. So because we actually blind ourselves to spiritual things of God. Let's go to Isaiah, last verse. Isaiah 58. That's why I'm so worried about sometimes with young people in the churches. You know? You try to tell them about certain things, they think that, hey, I know a lot, man. Wow. Well, because, is it because knowledge increases? And because, they know more about computer stuff and program stuff, therefore, they're smarter than us. But actually, you and I, we are all useless. Right? Because we are past 6 days. We know nothing. Yet these young guys, teenagers, they can do all this very fast with their hand. Tick, 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 tick. We cannot catch up, of course, because our finger is not that fast no more. Huh? So they know better than us. But, you know. So there are certain things, yeah, they know. Well, certain things, yes, I understand. They can play games. My son play games, computer games, and some of you young kids play computer games. You can have your mouse. I can see people play games. They're really good. The mouse in one hand, and you have the scroller, the scroll button, they have the left button, the right button, and the fine finger on the keyboard, so many keys right now, and the game command shooting pick up
Turn around, zoom in, zoom that. Wow. I try one time, I give up. I never play those games. You know what I mean? It's just, you need to, I mean, Brother Kari, we cannot play this kind of game. You know, we probably play the old-fashioned arcade game. The ping-pong. Tong, 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 tong. Do you remember that? Good old classic game. But you see, they may young are like this. But we grow, we have gone through, we have seen. But as far as spiritual things are concerned, brothers and sisters, keep young ones. When mom and dad or some uncle and auntie tell you something, please remember this. They are telling you to give you some advice. But don't make sarcastic words or remark and think that you know better. You're going to lose out, you know. Learn from things that we learn, that you learn. Okay? Isaiah 58 verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And that's what I liked. In a time when we need the Lord, when we are dry and spiritually dry, God will always be there. He will always fill us and water us with the water of His Word. You know, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And where do you get the joy of the Lord? It's in His Word. And when you learn to walk spiritual things, that's why, as I said one thing, brother and sister, you indulge. And that's why I like to go to the Philippines. Those brothers and sisters, they just want to come to the convention, they want to have meetings the whole day. They are not tired. You see, because they are eager and they like to listen to the Word. And they just go out. And those brothers and sisters back in the 80s, when I first went there, 82, in Hingo, they are still there. They are still there. They are older now. They talk to me. It's a brother again. Oh, you remember those days and all these things. And they are still formally walking in the Lord since 82, when I was there. You know. And they enjoy. And they have good words for me. They have good words for our brothers and sisters. They gather after the convention during the lunchtime and eat and they share and they talk and the fellowship. They say, the joy of the Lord because of the Word. And that is our strength. And that is their strength over there. And I pray there will be so in our fellowship here that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can only find joy in His Word. Nothing else. Because the Spirit of the Word is life. And God is in His Word. And that's why we get the life, the growing and bubbling in us. No matter what we see coming, all this thing, well, that's it. That's all there. Never mind, that's it. Just stay calm. God is always with us. He guide us, keep us. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Yeah? Right, Brother John? Yes. You see? And whatever need to share with one another in love and all these things, it just be part of the natural thing that flows from God into our life as He always be walking around us. I don't think the Christ ever passed by us unless we are rebellious. Unless we are rebellious, as Paul said, because you rejected my word, I have rejected you. So when you reject His word, you reject. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grace, O Lord, unto us, and mercy abundantly, O Lord, that falls from heaven in our life. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. Let our mouth, O Father, be full of praise for you and rejoice in the Lord our God. And we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Father, for the word of life. Continue, Lord Jesus, to guide us, Father. Correct us, Father, Lord, as Jeremiah would say, O Father, Lord, that when we are not in ourselves to do things or to direct our footstep according to that which you desire, correct us, Lord. But surely, Lord, when we are corrected and we walk in thy sight and we will continue to walk in thy sight as thy word is kept alive in us, Lord, we know, Lord, you delight in us. And you will continue, Lord, to be with us. And this is thy word of truth, Lord, spoken and written, Father. And we thank you, Lord. So, Father, as we do what you have taught us in thy word, just bring a blessing to our life too. And may there always be the joy, always bubbling, and the water, O Lord, always quenching our thirst, ever there be. We ask the Father your blessing today now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.